Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're into part 88 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. This is program 190. If you'd like a copy of it, let us know whether you want a tape or a recording or a CD. Sharon will tell you exactly how to receive a copy of this. At the end of the program, remember everything that we send you is absolutely free, postage and handling included. We have some letters this evening. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint me with His Holy Spirit, that He talk through me, Father God, that You talk through me, and that You open the... that You open their spiritual ears so that their ears in the Spirit can hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And open up people, we ask that people would, You'll touch them so much by the things that You say through me, Lord, that they'll open their hearts and allow You, Jesus, with the Father by the Spirit to enter them so that they'll have power. So that they'll have strength to keep Your commandments. And after this, that they receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the outward and inward anointing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they'll be ready and have power to be in the ministry. So many people, they hear the word and they don't realize they accept the Lord. They accept You, Lord, and then they get themselves... a Bible, and then they get buy a briefcase, and then they get somebody to carry it for them, and then they go into the ministry. And that's why we see so many novices. And You stated in Your word that novices should not teach. They can give their testimonies, but they certainly cannot teach. Because, and the reason You give, the basis for that, the reason that You give for that is that they'll fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Now, we know the devil's going to hell, and so they fall right into hell in the lake of fire with Satan. And so I pray that the people that are out there that just are itching to go into the ministry, that they know that they need to submit themselves under elders, tutors, and governors so that they can learn the word. There's a place in the scriptures that says that we need that no man teaches. That means that we need not any man to teach us, that the word of God tells us that we need teachers, preachers, evangelists, prophets, and helpers, pastors. And so that should stop a person from thinking with his own mind and his own spirit, because they certainly will fall into hell. It's the same thing as sinning. It is sin to disobey You, Father. Lord, we ask that the church be strengthened and that many souls will be saved from this. The words that You say this evening, I pray it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
All right, where's the first letter from?
From Buenaventura, Colombia.
Okay.
Beloved Tony Alamo, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I've just received the literature with Your message on it. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we distributed all the literature. We are a group of 42 souls. We are all happy with Your messages. Many of those who have received the literature told me how the message was very good. There are a total of 33 people who need Bibles. They all want t-shirts and sweatshirts, a total of 42 adults and 15 children. Please send more literature for distribution. Thank you very much. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you greatly. Signed, Sandra from Buenaventura, Colombia.
This is wonderful. We're praying and we're asking that if you... brothers and sisters in radio land love the literature and it caused you to be saved, and you see other people being saved from it, that you become a distributor. Now, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me what church you go to. Now you can become a distributor as well, because the Bible tells us that we must evangelize. We must go into all the world and preach and teach. And if you can't preach and teach, you can hear that from these letters, all the people that are being saved from it. And so what you could do is just, we'll send you all the letters you need and Bibles. You can start having Bible reading groups, and you can actually even start your own Tony Alamo Christian ministry there, wherever you are in the world. There are hundreds, yay, thousands of people that are doing this now. And everything is absolutely free, and so there's no excuse. You say, well, I wasn't called to preach. Well, you were called to evangelize, and if you just can't, you don't feel the anointing. And the reason may be is because you've come up with your own ideas of what the Lord wants you to do. You need to hear from the Lord as to what he wants you to do. Now, in the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts, the Lord told Paul that he must get out of town real fast because people are trying to kill him. I remember on several occasions where the Lord was talking to me and told me to get out of town fast. One time was in Las Vegas that I remember very well. The Lord came down. I was not even thinking of leaving or anything. I had a nice place to live there. And to me, Sue and myself, the casinos and all that was like a circus on the outside of town. We didn't pay any attention to that whatsoever, but there's a lot of people that know the Lord in Las Vegas, and they want to evangelize, but they don't know how. But those of you in Las Vegas or anywhere else in the world, Monte Carlo, doesn't matter, we're heard there, you can ask for the literature and we'll send it to you. But at any rate, the Lord told me, you've got 5 minutes to get out of here, when I was in Las Vegas. And so I didn't know why. I had no idea. But I said, there were several people from the church there, and I said, all of you, just throw what you need in the middle of a sheet on your bed here. Because we had a lot of people, brothers, that were with me. And I said, just fold it up. We've got exactly 4 minutes to get out of here, because the Lord told me a minute ago that, you know, if we don't get out of here, we'll be killed. And so we did that and threw everything in the van and took off. Now, I found out later, one of the couples, a married couple, wanted to stay, Gary Nash and his wife. After we left, a few minutes after that, they busted into the doors and put a gun barrel down Gary Nash's throat. A lot of people say I resemble him somewhat. And he was saying, and his wife was screaming, that's not Tony Alamo. You know, when you're really anointed by the Lord, such as like the psalmist David, everybody in the world that is of the devil would like to see you made into fish bait. But thank God for us being able to hear from the Lord. Find it in the book of Acts, chapter 22, where it told him to get out of town quick. And we'll read that to you a little bit later in the program. But it's absolutely mandatory, if you want to live and not perish, to let talk to the Lord all the time and let him talk to you, because we're like lambs among wolves here in this world. And these wolves are the demon-possessed people. And they want to kill you. They want to put you in prison. They want to shut your mouth, because they're doing everything in their power to put an end to the gospel, because the gospel pulls the lid right off the top of them. The Bible exposes homosexuality and lesbianism, fornication and adultery. I've been told that many of these false churches, that maybe half of the people that are living or going to these churches are committing fornication and adultery with one another. And it's not going to hurt me when you're going to hell in the lake of fire. You're going to be screaming your heads off. And Somebody wrote in to me and says, you tell that if we've sinned, that we're going to hell in the lake of fire. And I said, yes, you will, if you knowingly and willingly and wantonly commit sin. But if you did it ignorantly, if you'll repent, then you have an advocate with the Father by through the Son, Christ Jesus. He'll be your attorney. And that's only if you repent. And repent means that you don't ever do it again. You walk in the Spirit. Now, there's no condemnation. The 8th chapter of the book of Romans says there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, not after fornication and adultery and lesbianism and homosexuality and stealing and lying, but those that walk after the Spirit. If you walk after the Spirit, you're perfect. And I know there's the Lord says, take heed that you listen to me now, because there's going to be many false prophets. This is in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 4. Read it, Sharon. Come over here and just read it for a second. Okay, read verse 1 through 4.
And Jesus went out and departed from the temple.
So he used to occasionally go into the temple. Most of the time he'd be preaching on mountaintops and hills, out on the desert, and down by the Jordan River, all different places. But this time he come out of one of the temples. And then what else?
And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple.
As if Jesus didn't know about him. Okay, and then what else?
And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Okay, he's telling them in advance what would be happening in 70 AD when King Titus, a Roman centurion or commander, brought his troops into Jerusalem and destroyed all the buildings and laid it waste and killed many Jewish people, God's chosen people. Now, if God would allow his chosen people to be destroyed, they took, cut women up, open, and took their babies out of their stomachs and threw them against the wall. And the Lord allowed that to happen. And he allowed it to happen in World War II, when Hitler, this animal, murdered knowingly, willingly, 7 million Jews. And then he said, I'm only doing what the Vatican has wanted to do for centuries, is to wipe the Jews off the map. But it didn't happen, and it never will happen. Now they're starting a big thing. We know that Russia is supplying military might to the Arabs that surround Israel, the Palestinians. And God gave that land not to the Palestinians, but he gave it to the Jews. And he stated that in the last days that God would bring from every country in the world the Jews back to Israel. And that was officially done in Jerusalem, or Israel was proclaimed a nation for the Jews in 1948. And so we know that God, he said, this is one of the last signs. And when that would happen, that the Gentile dispensation would be over with, and that we Jews, my real name is Bernie Lazar Hoffman. I'm a Jew, and I changed my name to Tony Alamo years ago before I was a Christian, as a singer, and to avoid a lot of persecution to Jews. Because I know the Nazis, the skinheads, the Hitler worshippers that are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire if they don't repent. But they're certainly not going to repent over the wishy-washy, namby-pamby messages that are being preached by false prophets in the pulpits today. Now, Jesus goes on further to tell you about these false prophets. Go ahead, continue reading.
And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be?
Well, and when shall these things be? Okay, one of the first things he talks about is the dirty, filthy, false prophets today. These are wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. So go ahead and mention the next verse here.
And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you.
Okay, make sure that you don't, that you're not deceived by these false prophets. That's what he's saying. And in this chapter, there's five different warnings of false prophets. Because they're telling you that once saved, always saved. That's a dirty, false prophecy. That will never happen. The only way that you're once saved, always saved, would be as if you walk in the Spirit to the end. The Bible says those that continue on walking in the Spirit to the end shall be saved. Those that do not walk in the Spirit, it's like you are a dog going back to your vomit, Jesus said, or a sow wallowing in the mire. And we continue on.
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many.
Right, you look at all these Muhammad and Buddha and all these people. Person says, I want to know who I should believe in, Muhammad or Jesus. Well, the Bible plainly tells you that there's no other name mentioned among men whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus. There's no belief in Muhammad. And Muhammad did not raise from the dead like Jesus did. If you go to the tomb of Jesus, you'll see that it's empty, clean, and there's no one in there. But go to the grave of Muhammad, and you'll see, if you open it up, there's just bones in there, and more than likely a stench would come out and not knock you out from the stench. Okay, you'd pass right out, you know, from a dead, rotten bone body in there. All right, and let's continue on.
And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars.
Yes, do we hear of that? Yes, we do. Then what?
See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not
yet. See, we're not troubled, those of us that are born again of the Spirit, because the Father is in us, and Jesus with his Father by the Spirit is living in us. And he said, if God be with you, who could be against you? So we don't need to fear wars. Amen?
Amen.
If he's with us, then it doesn't matter if there's a 25 wars or 1,000 wars around me. I shall not be concerned about it whatsoever, because I'm lying down in green pastures by the still waters. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. He's my leader, in other words. You've got the Pope for your leader. And the Pope, he wound up very bad, John Paul II. He was compelled to just look at his shoes for an untold amount of time, and he had a hose sticking out of his neck, and he had to wear diapers. Okay, now, he said he's God. I don't believe God wears diapers. And I don't believe that for weeks or months he has to look at his shoes all day long. And I don't believe anybody has to put a hose in his neck for him to breathe, because he is the breath of life. Amen?
Amen.
So, I mean, he's one of the ones that the Lord's talking about. Many will come in my name. He's saying he's the Almighty God. Then there's another Pope that they didn't put embalming fluid in, or they didn't take his guts out and throw it in a bucket and stuff him with cotton. They just left him the way he was and sewed his lips up so he couldn't blaspheme God any longer. That was Pope Pius the 12th. And they said that when he was lying in state, that he smelled so bad because of foul air that was coming out of him, that the Swiss guards that were near him passed out. And so I'm sure that wasn't God, because God doesn't stink. But you see that these false gods do, the popes and Muhammad and all these other people that call them God. God says, listen to me, I'm telling you, how this is one of the signs of the end time, is all these weasels, these people that are demon-possessed, that are Satan incarnate, are saying that they're God, and that they're God's vicar here on earth. They call him God Almighty, and that everybody is to obey him, and that no one can prosecute him when he is called. And he uses presidents, kings, and queens to do his dirty work for him, because of the Catholic cult. The Bible plainly states that this is Satan's seat, Rome. And that the Catholic cult is the one that's calling the shots on taking the Bible out of schools. If you read it, they're actually saying it's a sin to read the Bible. Now, God says that you must study his word. Oh, just study his word. So they can be a workman for God, not being ashamed. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so if you're going to be ashamed, well, where will you be ashamed? I'm not ashamed. You'll be ashamed before the great white throne on the day of judgment, because you'll be ashamed that you didn't study the word of God. And it was very easy for Satan to deceive you because you didn't know the word of God. Now, Christopher Columbus believed the word of God when it said in the Bible, the Old Testament, that the world was round, not flat, like all the heretics were saying. He had great faith in the Lord, and he did write several Christian books. And they're very good books. The things about Revelations and the book of Revelations and the things of the end time. These books are available in bookstores that were written by Christopher Columbus. But these false prophets, there's another warning on them. Yeah, go ahead, read a little bit more.
For nation shall rise against nation.
Is that happening right now?
Yes.
The Arabs rising up against Israel. The Russians and the Russians are persecuting the Jews very badly. We want to send more and more funds over there, because they'll let them fly out of there and back to Israel. And we've been sending finances to feed them over there, because they're God's chosen people. And God is going to turn back to them, and is already turning back to them. Us Jews, the Bible said, would be preaching the gospel to you Gentiles in the last days. So we're end time signs for you. This is the love of God to tell you all these things so that you recognize how close we are to the end time. Okay, and then keep going.
And kingdom against kingdom.
Well, that's happening right now. It's been going on now for a few years. Then what?
And there shall be famines.
There's famines. Look at the people starving in Africa. We just sent them. I sent Mr. James Robeson, $30,000 the other day to feed those poor little black kids that you can see their ribs on them. And I sent $5,000 to Rod Parsley's ministry. But at present, I'm sending some of our people over there so that we can see for sure what's going on over there. And we're going to take video cameras, and we're going to take pictures of it, and we'll be able to, we won't have to go through James Robeson or Rod Parsley. I asked the Lord, Lord, you know, they're preaching sometimes things that are not right, like Rod Parsley saying that Mr. Bush is the Messiah. That's another false prophet. They say, here's the Messiah over here. This is Mr. Bush. Mr. Hagee says the same thing. And James Robeson backs up the president, who is nothing more than a puppet for the Pope, for Rome, the seat of Satan. Okay, and keep going.
And pestilences and earthquakes.
Pestilences means every kind of disease. There's so many diseases now that they don't know how. The scientists, the chemists, the doctors, they don't know what to do with them. They just predicted that one-fourth of the world population is going to be killed by the bird flu, and they have no solution for it. And AIDS, they're dying by the millions over in Africa with AIDS. starvation, they're dying. James Robeson showed rows, hundreds and hundreds of freshly dug graves, and these children over there are dying like flies. If he's going to give the money and the food and all that to these people, send the money to him, because if you send it to me, I'm just going to go ahead and send it to him until we are established there in Africa and India. So I don't mind if you send it to him, but just say it's for those poor black kids over there that and the adults too, that they're dying like flies. Okay, and then go ahead.
And earthquakes in diverse places.
Okay, there was just an earthquake today in Indonesia, and they say there are literally thousands of people. We were watching it on the news no more than an hour ago. They're still pulling bodies out of the, what's today's date? The 27th of May, 2006. You can read it in the newspapers. And so this is just all Bible prophecy, and it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse and worse when God starts pouring out the great plagues on this earth, because you people, not all you listeners, I'm not talking about you born again Christians, but some of you people, if you don't repent, my Lord and my God, God is going to destroy you. And then it's not so bad to be killed, but to spend eternity in hell and then in the lake of fire with Satan and all the evil angels that followed him and all the people that followed him in this world. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to believe in the Antichrist system. And this is the Antichrist system. Like, for instance, tonight they said, well, we want all you folks out there, CNN said, we want all you folks to call in and say if you believe that we should stop people from saying the N-word. And the next thing they're going to say, or else you'll be put in jail. And so that's a violation of the U.S. Constitution. They're openly taking away the freedom of speech. And you've got a lot of drugged up maniacs that'll say, yeah, it's not right to say the N-word to people. The Negroes say the N-word to themselves all the time. When I was in prison for the gospel's sake, you could hear them calling themselves the N-word all the time, and they laugh about it. They pay no attention to it whatsoever. But this is all conjured up. What it is CNN is being used by the Antichrist government. The Bible says that this media is the mouth of Satan. And we try to call in to say it's breaking the U.S. Constitution. We don't use the word, because I'm Jewish, and next they'll say you can't call a Jew a kike. Well, I'm not a kike, I'm a Jew. But, I mean, the Lord doesn't even take the freedom of speech away from you. He just lets you choose what you're going to do. But this Antichrist government is trying to grab you and tell you what words you can say and what words you can't. And then on the subways in New York City, you're not even allowed to talk anymore. Now that's really taken away the freedom of speech. And the people are going for it. You know, and they're deceived. Because they're listening to Antichrist rather than Christ. Now Christ gives you the opportunity to preach the gospel and to tell of the things that are happening in the world today. And there's so much going on that, you know, it's just hard to keep up with it. And I don't have enough air time to uncover everything that Satan is doing. But he's really doing it. Okay, so then what?
All these are the beginning of sorrows.
These are just the beginning of sorrows. That's why I'm telling you, just like Christopher Columbus knew that the world was round, I know by the word of God that this is just the beginning. You may say, oh, it's all over with and all that. Oh, no. No, no, this is just the beginning, okay? The best is yet to come. But the Bible, you know, when God destroyed Egypt, all the Jewish people were not harmed because the Lord told the Jews where they could go. And they would go there, and they were safe. But the Egyptians were, like, slaughtered. They were slaughtered. Well, what kind of a God is that? It's the kind of a God that means what he says. And so you better listen to him. He says, take heed that you don't listen to false prophets that are telling you everything's going to be fine. And that, you know, this is that you should enjoy everyday life. When the Lord tells you to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Joyce Myers, you know, you're a novice. You're, well, that's why the Lord tells you, women, that he suffers you not to teach. You act like you strut around like a peacock, and you don't, I see that you do appease a lot of people. You must feel very proud of yourself. But, you know, we're supposed to take up the cross, deny ourselves, and follow the Lord. Why don't you preach the truth, okay? That would be excellent. And then if you did, then I'd commend you. I wouldn't be rebuking you all the time. And that other woman over there on that, what's her name? I just got her last night. Yeah, I can't even. Joni Lamb. Oh my God, what a catastrophe she is. If you see her program, turn it off. Because the Lord tells you to take heed who you listen to. She's exalting homosexuality and telling people it's all right if you commit adultery. Here's this woman on there. Well, we tried to call CNN and put our vote in, but there's just a rut around. I told you before that these polls that they take are just baloney. If you could ever get in through on that line, they got about four different lines, and they just hang up on you. And they say, okay, now if you want to do this, then do that. And press pound at number one. So you do that, and all of a sudden the phone hangs up. They're just putting everyone on a trip. And then they'll give you a false figure, you know. Well, there was 85 million people that said we should not use the N-word. And there was 10 that said it's okay. I don't say it's okay or not okay. I'm just saying we have the freedom of speech. That's the U.S. Constitution. And you weasels that have come into the United States of America, and I'm talking of the media, the government, and the Italians over there in Rome. This is the USA, okay? There's freedom of speech here. So, you know, if you don't like it here, get out. Okay, now that may sound rough to you, but it's better that you do what the Lord tells you to do than it is for you to go to hell in the lake of fire. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so read a little bit more here.
Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted.
Yeah, I've been put in prison for the false charges for the gospel's sake, because they didn't like what I preach. And what?
And shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations.
Well, they've been threatening to kill me for a long time. Ever since I became a Christian, that's almost 42 years ago, in September of this 2006, that'll be 42 years ago. Okay, then what?
And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake.
Yeah, we're hated. I mean, you see the news, they're saying, well, if, that's why they murdered the Christians over at Waco. That's why they're threatening to murder other people that don't do what the Antichrist says. But if you really love the Lord, don't be afraid, because the Bible says, if God be with us, who could be against us, okay? But just start talking to the Lord and listen when he talks back. Okay, now let's, you people out there in Radio Land, read the 24th chapter of Matthew and keep that on your mind all the time. Okay, now let's finish these letters.
The next letter is from Nigeria, Africa. Mm-hmm. It says, Dear Sir, greetings in the mighty name of Christ, our King and Savior. I wish to give thanks to the Lord for the outstanding breakthrough we are experiencing here through the tracts and newsletters you have made available through me to the brethren. I have been so deeply impressed at the response of the people so far.
See, and if you may not be a preacher or a teacher, but you can distribute the literature, and you'll see this dynamic response also, and you'll get the same credit in heaven that we do. for being merciful and getting the truth, the word, out to them. Okay, then what?
Yesterday, I went with my wife to two secondary schools in the city where we distributed the newsletters. We arrived there at the morning hours before the lecturers for the day. What we did was to serve both parents and staff of the schools with the literature. Many got saved instantly, among whom are two Catholics and three drivers who came forward to testify to us that they gave their lives to Christ as a result of reading and saying the prayer at the back of the literature.
Right, the Catholic news leaders say that I broke their church in half. They used to boast of having a billion followers. Now they say it's a half a billion. That was around 10 or 15 years ago. Now it's probably down to maybe just the henchmen that are on radio and television. And, you know, the presidents and kings and all that. And some of them are just hooked into it. They're threatened, like the Muslims threaten people. If you stop being a Catholic, like if they made a person president, they'll kill him. And that's why I feel sorry for President Bush, because I know he may want to get away from them, but he knows he would be killed. And that's what Ronald Reagan told me too. He says, Tony, I can't do anything to help you. I wanted him to fire Raymond A. Donovan, who is the head of the labor, director of labor here in the country, because he was wanting us to pay people for, after we'd saved them, that and they were sleeping on toilet seats in gas stations, and they were panhandling on the street and stealing candy bars and things like that out of supermarkets. And we'd win them to the Lord and build a house for them and feed them three square meals a day with snacks and buy them refrigerators and stoves and fill their refrigerators full of food and everything and preach the true gospel to them. And then Raymond A. Donovan, the head of the labor board, stated that we have to make checks for all of them as well. Now, you know, I told them, why don't you ask Billy Graham if he'll buy you a toothbrush? We buy everybody the toothbrushes and soap and everything they need and take care of their medical and everything. And Billy Graham would just say, hey, man, I'm not supposed to give anything to you. You're supposed to support me. Well, we were supporting people, and we still do. And that's another thing. We're too good of a testimony in this world, and it makes Satan and his cult, his government, and his media look sick. One of the females that was in the jail up in Fayetteville, when I came back from court, she said, I saw your smiling face on TV. And I said, oh, you did? Great. And she says, you make them look like such fools. And I says, who? She says, the entire government. She said, you make them look like fools. And I said, which guard are you? Because they have televisions in every one of the cells, and they can watch you and see when you come in and when you're going and what you're doing in there. You don't dare, pick your nose or anything like that, because they'd probably take a picture of it and run it in the newspaper. But this one said, you really make them look like fools. And I said, you really believe? She said, you make them look like such fools. And I said, well, I'm glad you see that. Because they are, I mean, they just are really stupid. The government is stupid. And I just pray that you stupid people get saved, because then you'll be smart. Mm-hmm. Because you'll have the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God. I don't hate you. Even though you put me in prison, even though you threatened my life. Some of those guards came up to me and said, when Bob Cole was getting me out of jail there in Fayetteville, some of the guards came up and says, it'd be better if you just stay in here, because you're not going to live long if you get out. And I said, well, if it's all just the same to you, I just believe I'll let Mr. Cole get me out of here, okay? Because I've got a wife and a child, and I want to go home and see my wife and kids, okay? And every time when they'd talk to me, they'd have their hand on their pistol. And so I knew that God is with me. Amen?
Amen.
And if God be with me, who?
Amen.
could be against me. Okay, if there's millions of people around with guns and everything, and even if that did happen, I thank God, you know, it made my day, because I'll be right there in heaven, and I would be, you know, safe and sound, and I wouldn't have to put up with such, as that woman said, such fools anymore. Okay, then what?
Many asked if there was any branch of the ministry in town, and we were so glad to tell them yes. We also gave them the venue.
See, there could be a ministry in your town, too, if you'll just take up the cross, deny yourself. Sue and I opened our home to them at first, and then they got so big that we moved over to a narcotic dope den. We went in there after we preached the gospel at one of the missions in Los Angeles, and we went in there and won every single one of these hippies to the Lord, and that became really our first church. And they were all hippies, long-haired and dirty, and we got them all saved and gave them literature and sent them out to the streets, and they'd bring others in off the streets, other hippies. The hippies could lead the hippies into us, and then we'd win their souls. I'd give my testimony, and Susie would preach the gospel to them. She'd preach hellfire and brimstone so hot to them that they'd start crying, and they'd come down to the altar and get saved. Okay, then go ahead.
We also gave them the venue of the fellowship. I must not fail to let you know how someone gave her life to Christ the other day as we went to a major hospital in our city here. We went there to share the literature, and before we left the hospital premises, a nurse called one of us and told us how one patient got her to read the literature Mass Suicide, and she gave her life to Christ through the prayers you offered at the back of the literature. Today I went with my wife to the park where people go to board vehicles going to other cities. Most travelers were given the literature. Many requested for several extra copies, some 10, some 15, some 20 copies.
This is why these people, there are many people who say, you make them look like such fools. It isn't me, it's the Word of God. And the way that the Lord leads me in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Now, if I hadn't got out of that place in Las Vegas when the Lord told me, I'd have been dead. And the same thing with the Apostle Paul. Okay, then what? Did you find that part? Okay, keep going. Let's finish this letter, and then I'll have you read that.
When we finished there, we went to the Trans Amadi Industrial Estate, which is one of the largest industrial estates in our country, located in our city. It boasts of millions of workers, among whom we went making known to them the way of salvation by way of distributing the literature and tracts that you sent to us.
See, now, Africa, it's not a big deal to have millions of people. They have a billion to a billion and a half people there, just like in China. When they say they win a few souls, they're not talking like one and two. They're talking about lots. Amen?
Amen.
And then what else?
Many gave their lives to Christ after reading.
When they say many, that could be a whole lot. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Many of them came to ask me further questions about Pastor Tony Alamo in the ministry. I have received lots of testimonies from three brethren that I mobilized to go to three other major cities here in my country to go and distribute the literature. They have mind-blowing reports, too. We give thanks for your life, sir, and wish you more grace and anointing. I wished I had enough funds to get a camera so I can send daily pictures to you of the work going on here.
Well, we'll send him a camera, praise the Lord. And we'd really love to hear from you and see the pictures, too. Okay, then what?
But I am trusting God that I will be able to do so soon. Furthermore, sir, please send copies of Bibles because many converts are requesting for them. Furthermore, I want you to pray that the Lord will provide for me financially, since my finances have gone terribly low at this time. This is to enable me to motivate the people and to also find it easy to meet the high cost of transportation here. I pray God blesses your ministry, sir, yours in his royal service, Pastor Henry from Port Harcourt, Nigeria, Africa.
Okay, send him $1,000. All right. Because this man is working in the ministry, that's obvious, amen?
Amen.
And tell him he can get a camera from there. Okay, now let's read that passage. You know, like the Lord has dealt with me very much as he did with the Apostle Paul. Paul saw a bright light on his way to just outside of Damascus, and it just stopped him short. And he went into Damascus after he was blinded, as his followers led him in there, to a man named Ananias. And the Lord had told Ananias, after Ananias complained that this is Paul, he's killing Christians and persecuting, he said, I've called this man to be in the ministry, and he's to do many great things and to suffer for my sake. And so he went into Ananias' place, and he prayed for him and prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and these scales that were on his eyes fell off, but he still was never able to see that good with his eyes after that. That was the thorn in his flesh, was the blind. He was probably legally blind by the terms today, just like myself. And then, because he just persecuted Christians and even held the coat of Stephen when he was stoned to death. And Stephen was a great Christian. And then, by the way, the Lord came to me, was right in the middle of a business meeting in Beverly Hills. And it was just out of the blue. He came down and shut my ears off. And the Spirit of God was talking all the way through me. It was my whole spirit inside my body to stand up and tell the people in that room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or I would surely die, and I knew I'd go to hell. And there's copies that you can order of my conversion, how these things happened, and many supernatural things, as probably as many as the Apostle Paul had. And so Apostle Paul wasn't anybody any more than I am. It's just the things that God has done for us and the things that he's spoken to us that we should do. So all the glory goes to God. Paul gave all the glory to God, and I give all the glory to God. And it just changed us immediately. When I heard those words from the Lord, and there was quite a turmoil. We argued back and forth. And he finally scared me to the point to where I did exactly what he said, because he was pulling the breath in and out of my body. And I said, I'll tell him right now, because I was arguing that let me do it tomorrow. And the Lord, when he wants you to do something, he's not playing games. You better do it or else. Because he is a God that is love, but he also kills. And he also sends souls to hell. Jesus said, don't fear him who can kill your body, which is Satan, but fear him who can kill your body and send your soul to hell, and that's God. Okay, so the Bible warns you of what God is like, his nature, and what he goes for and what he won't go for. And your carnal, stupid mind, foolish mind, is not going to change him. You're going to change, or else. Okay, then what? So read this now from the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. And what verse is it?
17 and 18.
17 and 18. Okay, go ahead.
And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple.
This is Paul talking. Then what?
I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem.
Yeah, well, that's what he said to me. Get out of here. You've got 5 minutes to get out of here. And this scripture never registered to me that much before. And I thought, my Lord, I just was reading that today and said, it's just almost identical what the Lord told me. Okay, get out of Jerusalem. Then what?
For they will not receive thy testimony concerning me.
Amen. Then what?
And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles.
Okay, so Paul, he was a fanatic for the Lord, just like I am. And, you know, you people are fanatic for football games, basketball games, tennis, and movies, and video games, and all that. I'd rather be a fanatic for the Lord. You're a fanatic for someone. And if you're a fanatic for those, you're a fanatic for Satan. Okay? And that's going to go against you very strongly on Judgment Day at the Great White Throne. All right, now let's continue with the letters. We've only got just a few more minutes here.
The next letter's from Provincia Uruguay. It says, God richly bless you. Greetings from Pastor Morrow. Your webpage is such a blessing. Keep it up. Signed, Morrow from Provincia Uruguay.
If you people would like to look at my website, you can do it by
going to alamoministries.com.
That's real easy. Alamo Ministries, it's spelled the same way as Alamo. Remember the Alamo. Alamoministries.com. A-L-A-M-O. Okay, then what have you got there?
The next letter's from Guatemala. Pastor Alamo's testimony is very interesting and such a blessing, as well as all of his Bible studies. They help me so much in fulfilling my duty as a pastor to my congregation. Greetings, signed Flavio from Solola, Guatemala.
It's Guatemala. Okay, gringo. Then what?
And then there's a phone.
Gringa. Oh, it says gringa? Yes. Gringa. I'm a gringo, so I said it wrong. All right, then what else?
There's a phone room response from Montana.
Montana, that's my old stomping grounds. That's where I actually was raised. Then what?
A young lady from Montana by the name of Paulina called the 24-hour witnessing line and stated she had been having a lot of questions in her mind. She went to the grocery store with her parents one day, and on the ground in the parking lot, she found one of the pieces of literature our pastor writes, Mass Suicide, and all of her questions she ever had were answered in the literature.
Wow, that's just one piece of literature. I've written hundreds of them, so if you want your questions about the Lord answered, just call up alamoministries.com. All right, now Sharon, come on. Okay, here's another little article here. Read it. We'll only be able to go a little bit of this.
Secret FEMA plan to use pastors as pacifiers in preparation for martial law. A pastor has come forward to blow the whistle on a nationwide FEMA program which is training pastors and other religious representatives to become secret police enforcers who teach their congregations to, quote, obey the government, unquote.
Yeah, these government Bibles say that they are the authorities, but if you'll read the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, you'll see that the actual people that are in charge are the Christians, the ministers of the gospel. The Bible says that we are the authorities, not Antichrist authorities. And the Lord tells you to obey the authorities of God, and they are your ministers. Now just read that in the King James Version Bible and the original text. Lately, in the last few years, they've come out with these government Bibles that say that the government is the authority. They are not. They are not the authorities of God. The preachers, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors are the actual authorities of God. And the Bible tells you to fear us. Fear us because we are from God. And you don't want to come against us, because a lot of people have, and we just see them falling down into their caskets and being buried. Okay, well, I wish we had more time, but our time is up. There's so many interesting things for us to talk about, and Sharon is just loaded for bear over here with a message about, at least come over and read one line of that, Sharon. Our time is up, but we're going to go. We've got about 4 minutes here.
If we're really, truly, intensely consecrated, it is the result of the constraining love united with the reason for consecration, which is ownership.
Yes, the reason that we need to consecrate ourselves to the Lord and just focus on Him alone is because He owns us. Okay? So in order to do that, you need to just concentrate on what He wants you to do. He wants you to be born again of the Spirit so you don't go to hell. That's for your benefit. He wants you to have Christ with the Father by the Spirit living in you. And we need to do that because he died for all, for everyone on this earth. But only few people receive his merciful outstretched hand for salvation. And you can have him living in you, and you say, well, I'm weak. But you will not be weak after he enters into your mortal body, after he enters into your spirit. And that can happen right now. All you have to do is repeat this prayer to God and say it to God and mean it. Say unto the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God, Jesus, raised himself up from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. The Bible plainly states, tells that throughout many places, and you need to read the Bible so you know it. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and your word is true. This is a promise. I will not turn you away if you'll call upon me. So call upon the Lord now and say, Father, Lord Jesus, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. All right, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, now here's Sharon to tell you four different ways you can receive a copy of this tape or CD. It's absolutely free of charge. And also, the shipping and handling is paid for.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, so make sure you tune in tomorrow for part 89 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And until then, you just really start reading the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, you won't know who's telling the truth. You'll think that the government is actually the authorities here on earth, the authorities of God. And they're actually the authorities of Satan. And they're doing satanic things. If you read the Bible, you'd know that. So again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you. Read your Bible like the Lord commands. And God bless you very much. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.